Macbeth is an unholy riddle which still hesitates in the anchor fear of retribution. Macbeth is to the theater world what King Tut's tomb is to archaeologists. The superstition follows that any company performing the play will be beset with horrible luck, ranging anywhere from uncanny accidents on the set to actual deaths within the company. 13 Omens Podcast is available at myspace.com/13_omens. Look for the link in the About Me section.
Shaking this ball, and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? KarmaCast has answers. Check out KarmaCast.com for show listings and times. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
You are listening to Ghostly Time with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
Don't forget, all breaks here at Ghostly Talk feature independent music. That is independent music. That was Belladonna.
Cool band from Italy.
Italy. And they submitted songs like that for us to play. And really nice
bunch of people.
We are honored to be able to play that kind of incredible music.
Speaking of music, we got. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but we got to do this before I forget. Before we went to break.
Yes.
Shannon. We got a good laugh out of that, because I'm sure people are like, there's emails coming in right now to be going, Scott, you are the metal master. How come you didn't call her on that when she said it? Because I'm a nice guy.
Right.
And I don't like embarrassing people on the air. So we talked on during break, and I'm like, Shannon, I just want to let you know that song, Come On, Feel the Noise, actually it was originally written by a band called Slade, and then Quiet Riot covered it in the 80s, right?
Right.
And she's like, oh, my God, I feel like an idiot. She's like, please, I want to just apologize for me on the air. So whatever. Hey, now what are you going to do?
The thing is, I don't think folks know how nerve-wracking it is to be on that side of the telephone.
It is.
Even
when we work as hard as we can to make people so comfortable, too,
right.
People get nervous. It just happens.
You do.
Right?
You really
get
nervous.
We're nervous all the time on this show.
When I called into Coast to Coast the one time, and when I called in several times to Clyde Lewis, I was all flustered. But on this side of the microphone.
Just so you know my reigning title is the King of Metal. Is still intact.
And Shannon still
is
absolutely
awesome.
Is awesome and absolutely loves Dee Snider and Twisted Sister.
Yes, sir.
But here on this side of the microphone, I am large and in charge, and
I'm going to have to pull you out for that one.
Why?
Go ahead.
So I get to introduce the next guest. The Mid-Atlantic Paranormal Conference, formerly known as the West Virginia Ghost Hunters Annual Conference, will be held in Moundsville, West Virginia this upcoming weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The festivities start at midnight.
Oh, yes.
That's the Friday/Saturday night, right?
Midnight.
With an all-night investigation and ghost hunt at West Virginia State Penitentiary.
The mighty.
On Saturday, all will gather at noon. Who wrote this? In the courtyard of the prison for a picnic.
Brendan probably did. You might not want to make fun of the guy. He's on the phone.
This sounds like a movie trailer. This is awesome. I got to read that part again. On Saturday, all will gather at noon in the courtyard of the prison for a picnic with food provided. Presentations by Brendan Skeen, founder and director of WVGH. Jeff Belanger, author and creator of GhostVillage.com. Vince Wilson, whom we just talked about last hour, founder of BSPR and author of Ghost Tech and Ghost Science, and the hosts of
that crappy show,
Ghostly Talk Radio, Doug and Scotty L. I like that.
I got to ask Brandon about that one, too, but we'll get to that later.
At midnight, we'll all meet once again at the gates of West Virginia State Penitentiary for another all-night investigation and ghost hunt.
Fun weekend coming up.
The website is www.westvirginiaghosthunters.com. All run together, no spaces, no hyphens, West Virginia Ghost Hunters. Ghostly Talk would like to extend a warm and incredible welcome with applause to Brendan Skeen for pulling all this stuff off, that which is about to happen. Brendan, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Hi, how are you all doing?
I don't know if we can really explain that we can, over the phone it's very hard to display this, but we're very excited about next weekend. We cannot wait to come down there.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, too. It's coming together real well now. And you can blame Jeff for the Scotty thing.
I think it's perfect.
You know what? Now it all comes together, because actually I remember Jeff was calling me that in Getty's. He's like, Scotty L, what's up, man? How you doing? So now it all comes together. I know the source, so I'll have to give him a call this week. Okay, Bonnie's choked. Hang on,
oh,
Bonnie's
ooh.
Are you all right?
All right, we've got technical difficulties.
Bonnie, you all right over there?
Get a microphone on her. This is good stuff. What happened? Pat her on the back. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, Brendan, we have sent her into fits of convulsion. Oh, my gosh. Brendan, putting on a conference is something that I would not normally try to do myself, and that's because it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of contacts, and a lot of energy, and just phone call after phone call, and organization after organization. what got it in your head to put a conference on at Moundsville? Because that is one of the coolest places on earth. How did it all come together?
Well, actually, we held our conference there last year, too. And
right.
Up to that date, up to that year, the conferences had always just been in Charleston. And, you know, it was basically just a get-together. We wouldn't really do an investigation or anything like that. So last year we decided Moundsville would be a great place, and it worked out really well, so we went back to them again this year.
It sure does fit. I mean, I like absolutely everything about the schedule for this conference. First of all, the location. You really have it down on location, location. I mean, that's an incredible, now closed prison with multiple ghost stories, with evidence that's come out from investigations that people have done of the place. And so it's supposedly extremely haunted.
Oh yeah.
The hangings in the what is now a basketball court or something.
God, that was creepy.
On the basketball court, knowing that hangings took place there. I mean, that place really has it. It has everything, you know, location wise. Plus, your conference is slightly different. I mean, it includes the overnight ghost hunts and a picnic. So whose idea, who comes up with this? Because this is phenomenal stuff. This is the unconventional convention.
Well, actually, last year we tried the picnic thing. We tried because that was just, you know, that's where we started, was just basically a picnic. All the years preceding last year were just basically, that was the whole event, was a picnic. And last year it was kind of a disaster. We didn't really know where to go in Moundsville, so we booked with a local park. Put us in a really small picnic shelter, and there was a pretty bad thunderstorm in the middle of it, and we were up on top of a hill. So this year we decided, you know, we'd keep it as a prison.
I like that idea.
It's a way better idea.
And they have a haunted cafeteria there if it's raining.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there is this giant building we can go into if it starts to rain.
Yeah, if it starts to rain, there's a haunted cafeteria. There's a, you know, you can eat your picnic in a cell if you want.
Don't want to interrupt. Bonnie's okay. She actually had a coughing fit.
Oh, my.
She wasn't like laughing like she usually does, but she just started like going like coughing. And I'm like, okay, let's drag her out.
Well, that's because you were taking all her cough drops. But
She's okay. She's taking. We melt down here sometimes. You gotta take a time out.
Right. So she's taking a break.
She'll be back in a minute.
Well, that's okay because she'll learn all this stuff firsthand this upcoming weekend, because we are going to this event, and
we're gonna be actually heading out. I know Brennan. Brennan and I talked. I was at the car dealer talking to him the other day, and getting an oil change. You know, and we were talking. And we're gonna head out like after work on Friday.
Right.
Because I mean, that's why I'm. Brendan, I love going to all these conferences, but I told you this on the phone a while back. I'm like, I'm so excited about coming to your guys' conference, because, like, usually it's like, okay, you need to be there at 3:00 on Friday, you know, and we got to drive like 5,000 miles. And I'm like, all right, there goes another vacation day out the door. But yours is, you know, you guys were starting this with an investigation on Friday night / Saturday morning at midnight. And basically, we're going to be able to get ourselves there with plenty of time. We don't have to pull any vacation time.
Right.
That's what happened. I mean, really, this is like practical application right here. People that want to go to these things, to go to like a lot of these different events and stuff like that, it's difficult because you only have so much vacation time, right? And that's why I like about yours is we don't need to do that.
Right.
So happy.
Right.
I couldn't really afford to lose the vacation time from the real job either. So
it makes sense. So if anybody out there is in, you know, West Virginia, Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, all these places are within driving distance of Moundsville.
Yeah.
And
Moundsville is within about 45 minutes to an hour of Pittsburgh too. So
there you go.
Not that far at all.
Pennsylvania. So Pennsylvanians, I mean, even some New York folks. I mean, anybody in any of these states you can get there and not even burn a vacation day. I mean,
That's my favorite.
And you can hang out with us. You can hang out with Jeff Belanger. You can hang out with Vince Wilson. And, of course, the West Virginia Ghost Hunters. And you're in a haunted place. I mean, what's not to love?
Well, tell us a little bit about you guys' group. Because I'd like to know what, you know, you have a phenomenal group because you're putting on this really cool event. I mean, how long have you guys been around?
We've been around since 2000. I got into this. I was living in Louisville, Kentucky. I got into it because basically Waverly Hills, it was still just completely abandoned when I was living there. So, you know, I got a pretty good scare, and I decided I wanted to know what scared me. I still never found out, but then when I moved back to West Virginia, there really wasn't anything going on here. So I just thought it'd be a good thing, and I knew there was interest. It just was there was no organized group at all. So I put a site up and started getting lots of hits and lots of emails, and it just grew from there.
That's incredible.
That's usually how it works. I mean, how have you noticed, like, you know, and you've obviously been around for a while. Your group's been around for a while. I'm just curious, like, how am I even going to say this question without sounding like a complete fool? But how much do you think things have changed in the last couple of years? A lot of the older groups I like to ask them, like, you know, have you seen any differences as far as, like, the community in a whole? Have you noticed anything like that with your group, Brendan?
I've noticed a really big increased interest in the past couple of years. So I think the TV shows have a whole lot to do with that.
Oh, yeah.
And I've also seen just an unbelievable increase in just the numbers of groups. Even, I mean, West Virginia is a fairly small state, you know, 2 million people roughly, and there are groups springing up here. I can't even keep track of them. We get so many requests for, you know, affiliate groups and things like that. So it's definitely, that would be the biggest change, I think, is just the sheer numbers of people who are interested in this now.
Yeah, a lot of people are getting into it. You know, we've talked about that a lot of times on the show here. It comes up a lot nowadays for obvious reasons. I mean, we're a media source here, so, you know, people come to us and they get their information from us however they can. A lot of TV shows out there, and it sparks people's interest. The thing I've always been saying is, like Doug and I, we go to park, you know, we hang out, we're out there, we're being cool, we're with it, we're in the crowd and stuff. And as soon as you mention, like, you know, that you're into the paranormal or you do a show on that, everybody's interested in it. Everybody
has a story.
I don't think there's one person that I've come across in my life that if you don't bring up a ghost story, they don't all go, whoa, that's cool. I mean, it's a topic of conversation or a topic of study that I think anybody really could get into and be interested in to a certain degree.
You know, it's definitely, I mean, I guess the interest has always been there. Going back through history, there's always been an interest in life after death. So this is just another aspect of that. And, you know, we try to go about it in a scientific way, but as far as you can, because it's really kind of hard to apply the scientific method to paranormal research. But, you know, we just do our best to, you know, collect as much evidence as we can and try not to piss anybody off in the process.
And that's a very good plan of action. You know what I'm interested in? I want to know what's coming up. What's coming up this weekend? And I think one of the ways to learn about that is to learn about what happened last year. Mm-hmm. When you guys were there last year, I assume it's going to be, you know, last year would be like a trial run for this year, but
well, this wasn't at the prison though either.
Last year they didn't have the picnic at the prison, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You did?
We did the investigation at the prison. We had the picnic at a city park in Moundsville.
Right. So obviously it's improving over time, but I want to get the gist. I want to get excited. I want to get jazzed about this upcoming weekend. What kind of really cool things happened last year? Funny, cool, haunting, any kind of highlights from last year that'll get me jazzed for, although I'm already jazzed, but I really...
Come on, Brendan, sell it to us, baby.
Sell it to me.
Oh, my God.
What's happening, what happened last year that would really excite me about this weekend?
Well, I can tell you, of all the places that I've ever investigated, Waverly included, all of the places, I get more EVPs at Moundsville than anywhere else. And, you know, that is definitely, you know, the area that interests me more than probably anything else, more than the pictures, the video. I definitely love the EVPs. And Moundsville has always come through with the EVPs.
Well, that's cool. Brendan, what I want to do, if you're cool with this, is because last time we were there, I actually did about an hour run in the cafeteria. And aside from being, like, nearly killed by 4,000 bats at every second of the time we were in there, I mean, I didn't really have very good results. So what I'd like to do, I mean, even if you want to talk about it a little bit on the air here, I'm wondering what areas may be good hot spots for the people that are going to be coming out there this weekend as far as EVPs are concerned.
Well, there is the mechanical shop, which is most people would know that as the Hole from Fear, the MTV show Fear, but it's really not the Hole. It was a mechanical shop.
Mm-hmm.
It does have a pretty violent history. We've had really good luck with the EVPs there. The Sugar Shack, of course, is it was kind of a prison rec area where it had light guard supervision compared to the rest of the prison. So there were some definite bad things that went on down there, and that's usually a pretty good hot spot. The cell blocks, there's different cells that you that had something happen in them. There's a couple of cells that they point out on the tour, which, you know, there will be a tour guide there because the tour of the prison.
Okay.
Investigation starts. And there's some definite cells there throughout the prison where there were murders and things like that have produced some results. So
interesting.
For some reason, the newest part of the building, the cafeteria, always seems to produce something. I mean, something happens. Last year we had a lady that ran out of there screaming that she had somebody walk up behind her and grab her. It's crazy that the newest part of the prison seems to be something always happens there, but always comes through.
I gotta come and work with you then, Brent. Because, like I said, I mean, I sat in there for the cafeteria for about an hour last time we were there. And if there's anybody they should have attacked, it should have been me, because I realized after I came back from that trip, we went to Moundsville. I came back and finally went to the doctors, and I had an ear infection that whole weekend. So I ghost hunted with an ear infection. So I guess, you know, if you want to go on theory, I was weakened. My aura was weakened. So they should have just been kicking my butt all over the place, right? nothing really happened. But I'd like to, if you don't mind, I'd like to maybe tag along with you this coming weekend and do some work
with
you.
They were probably intimidated by your deep knowledge of hard rock.
I can't say anything has really ever happened to me in the cafeteria either. I've tried. And usually I don't do this. I'm not a big proponent of it. But I even tried to provoke something to happen when people are just talking about seeing all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Go in there and nothing's going on. And actually, my great uncle was the warden of the prison. So, you know, you'd think my last name alone could spark some hate in any spirits left in just anybody.
How interesting.
What about my deep knowledge of hard rock? I got to go back to this. Sorry, Brent.
I don't know. I was just, you know, that's it.
That's the only thing they could be intimidated by is what he was saying.
Okay, okay, Ghost Gang. We can't take this guy out because he's got a very deep knowledge of hard rock.
That's exactly it. I'm going to write a shorty about that.
Oh, good God.
Well, we're looking forward to this, Brent. I got to say, it's going to be a great time. It's, you know, the people that you have, you know, for this particular conference, I mean, you know, it's a nice short cast for Saturday. That's what I like about it, too, is it's a nice, fun day. God, thank you for letting us sleep in a little bit, too, by the way, Brent. I really appreciate that. It's nice to be able to sleep in, not being up at, like, that's our biggest gripe. And we tell everybody, we're like,
the
we love you.
Crack of dawn.
Thank you for, like, putting on this wonderful event, but why do we have to be up? Actually, not be up, but be there and be ready at 8 a.m. in the morning on a Saturday.
It's a lot like work.
I mean, we're going to be, God knows how late we're going to be there Saturday morning. But, you know, we might go, hey, look, we've been working all day, we've been on the road all night, let's do a couple hours and go back and sleep. So hopefully we'll be
I don't think you can get out of the place without them letting you out.
Well, yeah, they have to let you, yeah, the gentleman. Brennan, who's I hope it's the same guy from last year. Who's the guy who kind of works the front area, like the shop and stuff up there?
That's a sad story. Mike actually died about, it was in March. His name was Mike Carnita.
Yeah, Mike. That's who I'm talking about. That's the guy we hung out with and talked to. He passed away?
Yeah, he died about 2 months ago.
Oh, my God.
And it was definitely a big shock. I found out about it a couple days later from another group here in the Charleston area. They had actually booked the prison on their own, and they went up there and they told him. And then I had called the office and, you know, working on this conference, and they just, I don't have a lot of information.
Yeah.
I just know he passed away, and he's a big loss because he he knew more about that prison, I think, than anybody else.
Yes, he did. We sat there and talked with him because we got burned out towards the end of the night, Brennan. So about maybe 3, 4 o'clock, yeah, it was actually closer to 4 o'clock in the morning, we kind of just went up front and sat there and talked with Mike for the rest of the night, like up until about 6 a.m. And he was a phenomenal guy. He knew so much cool stuff. He was just hitting us with all kinds of cool tidbits of information about the prison. I am so sorry to hear that. If there's any way we can send our regards, God, I really would want to. That's such a blow, my God.
Yeah, Mike was, this will be my first trip to Moundsville without Mike being there. And, you know, I've been there five nights now, and that's going to be a rough part, is, you know, him not being around. Because I learned so much from him. It was just unbelievable, the amount of information he had about the history.
Well, he was so nice. I mean, we've been to, at that time in the morning, most people aren't in a very good mood. I mean, really. And that's what really surprised me, because, you know, it's like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. This guy's like, oh, my God, it's the weekend. What am I doing here, you know? But, no, he was, like, just so excited to tell us about any question we had. He was like, oh, check this out. Let me explain this to you. I hate to end interviews like that. You know, I hate to end discussions like that with people. But, my goodness, what a blow. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Well, I think this is a fitting thing. I think that when, in order to honor Mike the best,
yeah,
we need to go this weekend and just have the absolute best time and teach each other and learn from each other and really, really remember him in his spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, Brendan, wow, my goodness.
He worked nonstop for that. I mean, not just when the prison was open, which he had worked there, I think, 30 years while the prison was actually operating as a prison. But he was one of the biggest supporters in, you know, keeping the prison. I mean, that prison was actually going to be torn down at one point. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Mike worked tirelessly, for lack of a better word, to make sure that was a success. So I definitely, he's definitely going to be missed.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to it even more now, because I get to go there and we can actually reminisce.
Good point.
And think about Mike.
Good point, Doug.
So this will be incredible this upcoming weekend. If anybody hasn't already signed up, if you're going to go there, you've got to hit up WestVirginiaGhostHunters.com.
Yeah, click on the link for the Mid-Atlantic Paranormal Conference, and it'll take you to all the information, everything you need. Wow. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be all bummed out, but that's just what a blow, you know? I mean, you're right, though, Doug. That's the best way to go out there and show our respects, is to have a great time next weekend. You're totally right.
Yeah, and learn from each other and teach each other and talk about Mike and reminisce and just the whole thing. I'm in shock, too.
Yeah. Brendan, hang on the line for 1 second. We do have to go to break. Thank you for coming on the show and talking to us about the Mid-Atlantic Paranormal Conference.
Thank you all very much.
Yeah, hang on. Don't leave us just yet.
Don't leave us. So, yes, WestVirginiaGhostHunters.com. I want everybody listening, if you don't even have to burn a vacation day.
No.
Come up and see us. Come up and see Vince. Come up and see
Jeff.
Jeff Belanger.
See Brendan. See everybody.
And, of course, Brendan of West Virginia Ghost Hunters.
Yes, yes.
This is going to be, and let's remember Mike.
We'll be right back after this.
Sorry.
The largest and most comprehensive ghost conference the paranormal world has ever seen is coming to Gettysburg, July 20th to 22nd, 2007, at the newly constructed Wyndham Gettysburg Hotel and Conference Center. At this supernatural summit will be close to 3,000 square feet of space, where the paranormal community will come together to award excellence in the field of study, as well as establish standards and protocols in the science of supernatural research. Best-selling authors and paranormal presenters include John Zappas, Rosemary Lynn Guiley, Jeff Belanger, Charles Adams III, Troy Taylor, and Vince Wilson. Special event co-host will be none other than Mark Nesbitt, author of the Ghost of Gettysburg series. Ghost Hunters, be prepared to shop the largest paranormal trade show with vendors of ghost hunting gear, authors and books, and other fascinating otherworldly goods. Register for one of the intensive workshops. Take a ghost tour with Mark Nesbitt aboard a train, or tune into the dead with Kelly Weaver, psychic medium. All details on the Ghost World Conference website at www.ghostworldconference.com. Register online at the site. with PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, or eCheck. Group discounts available for groups of 10 or more. Please email info@ghostworldconference.com for details. All sales are final. Ghost World Conference is a production of Ghost World LLC and sponsorship by X Zone Radio.
Zoinks! Like, we're not gonna go there, right, Scoob?
No way!
Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried treasures, planetary mind control, military cover-ups, corporate
shadow governments, strange rituals, new world order, buried treasures, planetary mind control, corporate
presidential assassinations,
unidentified flying objects, presidential assassinations,
Out there.
Out there.
Out there.
Out there.
Out there.
out there. It's a strange world.
Visit OutThereRadio.net for more information.
Thankfully, we don't have a bio to read for our next
So guest. We can't slaughter the
we
bio.
We can't slaughter that, yeah. So much to the happiness
so
of our listening audience.
So we just have to slaughter the guest?
Is that how it works?
I'm sure you'd be happy to hear that. I would like to start off with this, though.
We also don't have a website, either.
Well, we'll discuss that.
This
we'll
is
work
amazing.
That stuff out.
Okay. Oh, this is a complete surprise to me.
What I want to start, how I want to start this out is with a big thank you to our guest, first of all.
Yes.
We do have Guy Jackson on the phone. Say hello, Guy.
Hi. And girl.
Yeah.
And all the listeners.
Yeah, there you go. I really want to thank you because you sent us a package this week, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you called our voicemail line and left us a voicemail, which we don't check nearly as much as we should. And you left it, and Doug called me going, dude, you know, email Guy and tell him, you know, did you get the package? I'm like, yeah, I just checked the P.O. box yesterday. I have this thing, right?
But see, I had followed the instructions in your voicemail, but then I tried to call you back, but your voicemail was full. So we were
You're
playing,
a busy guy.
We were playing voicemail tag all the time.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I've been getting calls from other people, and also I've been buying a new car, so it's been a rough week.
Well, I want to thank you very much because you did send us this amazing packet. Which I'm holding
well,
in my hands. I'm holding this
thing.
And
same. I thank you for having me on, too.
No problem. Because honestly, the reason I'm thanking you so much is because I saw how much it cost to ship this to us on the package. And I was like, my God, he spent that much money to get this stuff out to us. What guy?
Well,
go ahead,
I could have spent more to get it overnight, but I said, nah.
Don't do that.
No.
Okay.
You did enough. What Guy actually sent us was a packet of a ton of information, including a CD, too, that I don't have in front of me here, but I have all the paperwork. And a lot of this is on Spiracom, a lot of the stuff that that Guy's done research on as far as the mystery of this elusive Dr. George Jeffries Mueller, which there's been, we've had a lot of people on the show, Guy. I'm sure you may have heard them, who have Dr. Stephen Rourke, who discussed this, who went really deep into this this idea of, you know, Spiracom or Spiracon, which people
right.
are saying and stuff like that. And you sent us a bunch of really interesting articles, excerpts from magazines, and also some audio. And I actually got a chance finally this weekend, Guy, to listen to the CD earlier today. And I have to be honest, and Doug, this is going to be news to you.
Yes, it is.
This is going to kind of tie in, though, because you're going to understand exactly what's going on as we've discussed it before. The CD that you sent us, Guy, was actually, it was two different excerpts. It was two different people. The first gentleman was Dr. David River, who was, his discourse was, he actually went and got a bunch of different, what do you call those, I forgot the name of it now.
They're like artificial larynxes.
Artificial larynxes, right?
Yeah.
If you watch South Park, you know, the wonderful character Ned, he has one, and, hey, guys, how you doing? What's going on? Stuff like that, right?
Right.
And then part two of the CD that a guy made for us was by a gentleman named Harold Sherman, who actually sat down and, like, went through the promotional tape they put out for Spiracom. He went through it and, like, listened to a segment and said, okay, this is why I think this is BS. He, like, explains, like, you know, this is why I think this is, you know, at the end of the thing, basically what Harold said of his part was, I think this tape raises more questions than it answers as far as life after death is concerned.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back, though, and get your, as far as the first excerpt from this CD, I'd like to know your thoughts on these artificial larynxes.
Well, that was one of my first thoughts when I started listening to the original Spiracom tape. I was going, gosh, this does sound like one of those, you know, those artificial voice boxes that I've heard way back when.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if it was on this tape or elsewhere. George Meek said that basically the MetaScience Foundation had no means for faking this type of voice. And I was going, well, you know what? That's not quite true. You know, you have the artificial larynxes. If you've ever seen the movie Colossus, the Forbin Project, that came out, you know, just a couple years before this tape was released, and they had an artificial voice on there. And so artificial voices that sound similar to the Spiritcom were around, and I think they were within the financial and technical means of the MetaScience Foundation. However, I'm just presenting that as somebody else's point of view. I'm not saying that's what Bill O'Neill did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that, you know, O'Neill and George Meek and MetaScience Foundation were trying to hoax anybody. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just presenting that as, you know, another piece of information that was put out there earlier. And in fact, it ties in with that that article I sent you from Fate Magazine that was labeled just like your website, saying Spiritcom or Spiritcon.
Yeah, I saw that and laughed too, because this article, you know, I'm looking through this packet right now as we speak, and I saw the article and I started to laugh out loud on my chair because let me find it. Hang on, I got it right here.
My question is, a lot of the Spiritcom or Spiritcon kind of thing, at least as far as I've been seeing out of Dr. Rourke, it has been trying to chase down, you know, Jeffries Mueller,
yeah.
Or George...
Dr. Mueller.
Yeah, Dr. Mueller. Mm-hmm. So what happens is everybody talks about NASA's Mueller versus Spiritcom's Mueller. And are they
right.
The same person? And then what happens is, you know, people find out a lot of information here and there about the one that, you know, was at NASA. And then they try and put it together. One thing that is up in the air is that the MetaScience Foundation said that they had a photo or something of George Mueller's gravesite.
Oh, that was me.
That was what?
That was me.
You said...
I sent you the photo.
We've actually discussed that before, though. I think Dr. Rourke brought that up, too.
Yeah.
I wonder if you guys are pulling information from the same... I mean, I don't know what... I don't want to, like, be saying anything weird, but I know I do have that in this packet, too, here, that you sent us, Guy.
You have a photo of George Mueller or of...
I know I have it somewhere.
Well, okay, that's
this
something
is,
that
this
was
is a tough story. There's
this
a lot
is
of
a
weird
tough
things
story.
Going on
so
here.
So let's do this. Okay, so the thing is, NASA's Mueller is still alive. Okay.
As far as I know, he still is.
He's still alive. He's the CEO of some kind of alternative energy company or something like that.
Kistler Aerospace, I believe. Is still in. I'm not sure what status they're in, but anyhow, go ahead.
Yeah, and I believe he is still the CEO, or he was the CEO, and now he has stepped down to more of a founder kind of thing than that kind of thing. But he is he as far as I can tell, he's still alive. And has anybody asked him, dude? What's up?
I have not. I do have his email address at Kistler, and I was going to email him, and I have so many other things going on, I just haven't had a chance to do so.
Understand.
I understand. Yeah. I think, though, somebody from the Spiritcom research groups, somebody does need to email him eventually and say, look, okay,
absolutely.
What's going on here?
We're looking into this. And every time we keep hitting up against a brick wall.
This article that Guy mentioned a few minutes ago, Spiritcom or Spiritcom, which I found absolutely hysterical.
Because
look at the date at the bottom of the page, too.
1987. Wow.
20 years old. And here we go. I mean,
history is doomed to repeat itself.
Well, the thing that blows me away so much about this, you know, we've been doing the show for a little while here, Guy. And honestly, the first time I ever heard about Spiritcom, the project called Spiritcom, was like what? It was Halloween night, Doug, of like 2004, I think.
And you were listening to Coast to Coast.
I was listening to Coast to Coast AM, and Art Bell was playing the tapes on the show. And I was blown. I'm like, where? Now, I'm supposed to be like a happening guy. I'm supposed to have my finger on the pulse of this stuff. I should know all this stuff, right? But there's been people writing articles on this stuff for the better part of 20 years. As far, right, I mean, right. I mean, over 20 years, right, you know, what, stating their opinions, what they think about it.
Well, you know what, just as a sideline type thing, though, philosophically, let's say that's one of the problems with, I hate using the term, but I use it, ghost hunting nowadays. There's a lot of people don't dig back into history and see what's been done before. It's just like, not invented here, I'm going to come up with something new. Mm-hmm. And that's no offense to you or anybody else.
No.
I'm just saying, you know, that's what it really does pay to do your homework on these things and really dig. And mm-hmm. a lot of people just don't have the gumption, the patience to do that.
That's why I said what I said. I'm like, I should know this stuff.
Well, that's
what's
also
wrong?
One of the benefits of conventions and
going out these things,
gatherings like that we're seeing more and more of.
People are sharing this information.
Guy, do you have a picture of the headstone that MetaScience claimed to have?
Okay, well, again, as far as I know, MetaScience Foundation didn't find the headstone. It was me.
Something.
Yeah, I think I'm the first and only person to have found that.
Interesting.
Do you have it?
Is it in this package?
Well, first of all, I sent a JPEG to you over a year ago, and that's what got this thing going.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought I resent it just a couple weeks ago to you guys.
I'm sure I have it.
Scott, I want you to forward that to me.
Okay, no problem.
Please don't take this the wrong way. I get buried in email, and it's like, okay, file that one.
Can I use that image and I'll say special thanks to you, Guy, for finding this. But I do want that to get more well known.
Absolutely, and I fully appreciate that. I have the main person that I think probably knows the most about SpheriCom is Mark Macy.
Oh, yeah.
We talk to him a lot.
We've had Mark on the show several times, and we love the guy.
Yes, and I have listened to your shows when you've had him on, too. So I sent him that picture, gosh, I think about a year ago also, mm-hmm. and he was thankful. Unfortunately, he and Rolf, his colleague that works on the World ITC website,
mm-hmm.
they are swamped with stuff too, and so it just I don't think they've ever gotten around to posting that.
The interest in SpheriCom has definitely arisen, and it's kept. It is a flood.
Well, that's
more
than
that's
anything.
Something
else. I wanted to ask Guy, because obviously he's done his homework here.
Yes,
I'm looking at that.
Yes,
Guy, have you noticed like in the last couple of years a real spike in the interest in this project again?
Yeah, and I think it was probably due to Art Bell's show.
Undoubtedly.
Absolutely.
Put it up.
I won't lie, well, as soon as I heard that, I'm like, I mean, the first thing I typed into the computer the next day was SpheriCom in Google, you know, and that's how we were introduced to Mark Macy, because I found, worlditc.org, and I said, my God, where have we been?
Right.
Where have we been?
And we started designing our own experiments.
Literally.
And trying to...
If you've listened to these shows, Guy, you know that's SpheriCom and the study of ITC and stuff that really kind of changed our outlook.
And that's one reason why I felt that I should get on the show with you guys. Normally I don't toot my own horn, but I felt that, I should at least present some of that information out there, and I felt that you guys would be the... most receptive about this. How about that?
Well, thank you. That's a real compliment. Thank you.
You're welcome.
About the reeds, I mean the voice boxes, artificial larynxes, and things like that.
This is interesting.
I've seen photos of the SpheriCom device that was working, that Meeks actually worked, and I saw the little box, and I read the description, and I was under the impression that it was a series of reeds that vibrated.
13 tons.
13 of them, and they would vibrate, and yeah, that's my reed vibration noise.
Thank you.
Yes. and then these tones that it was doing would create the voice.
Yeah.
And so it was never meant to be anything but
an artificial simulation of.
But I was under the impression that they made it themselves, first of all, and then also. I was under the impression that their idea for the Mark III or the Mark V?
Mark.
What was that again?
Well, it started off with Mark III when they made the contact with Doc Nick.
Okay.
And then they whatever changes they made, and they and then meet called the Mark IV.
So the Mark IV was the one with what amounts to artificial larynx in the reeds that we got the tapes from?
In a sense, yeah. Okay. Well, how about this? Let me back up a little bit. Originally, how O'Neill did these 13 tones, he had two tape recorders and either access to an organ or he had a home organ there. And he would play them, or at least the notes that are close enough to the frequencies involved, he would play that note, record that, play back that tape while recording the next note on another tape. Mm-hmm. And so he built up all 13 tones that way. And, of course, you know, you get generational loss doing that.
That is crude.
but, I mean, that's what
all
he had to work
that's
with.
That's all you had
know?
Back then, yeah.
Yeah, and he's out in the wilds of Pennsylvania, remember.
Right.
He's in Katanning, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and in this little farmhouse shack out there.
I would call that ingenious, because he's working with what he had.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, and then the next step, as I understand it, I think this might have been in Susie Smith's book, Voices of the Dead, but I'm not sure where, but he next took a chunk of wood, like a plank, and then cut fingers on this piece of wood so that he could press all 13 keys on the, organ at once mm-hmm. and create them that way. And you know, Meek was impressed by this, but he says, you know what, we can do better than that. So that's when the Meta Science Foundation put together this 13-voice tone generator, and it was all electronic. Mm. So that's what they actually used. If you look at the pictures in the Spiricom manual, they show there, you know, it's like 13 knobs on this box that plugs into this.
Well, my favorite one, I'm not sure what mark it was, they actually built the one out of a toolbox.
They took
an old toolbox and they actually drilled holes in there for the knobs and stuff. And actually, it's a brilliant idea they came up with, because if they wanted to get into it and work on it, all they had to do was open the toolbox up. There you go. You had access to all the components. It was a really great idea.
Right. But the one that we're talking about, though, is it's humongous. And it supposedly was inside a Faraday cage. It was a transmitter and a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
The receiver output was plugged into this artificial larynx thing, right? Or these 13 tone generator, and then of course there's a tape recorder to capture the output.
Yep.
So, it's obviously very crude and very old compared to modern technology with XM satellite radio and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But
it
did something. Do you think that it was leakage through the Faraday cage that caused this, or do you think?
Well, first of all, no offense, but I'm not sure where you got the idea that this was done in a Faraday cage.
Right from the plan that's on World ITC.
Yeah, we look at that in the manual too.
In the manual.
Well, I'm taking a look at it and I see something that shows box or room or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't, there was nowhere in there that I saw that specified that it was a Faraday cage.
I read it sitting on my turntable, which is now, of course, not in use. So.
And I don't want to, call you wrong or anything like that.
No,
okay?
it's cool.
I would like to know, if you can tell me, in an email specifically where you
see
that.
Guy, I'm not looking at this as, battling. I'm looking at this as information discovery, okay?
Absolutely, okay. And I just wanted to let you know that I wasn't trying to be argumentative.
I understand.
Please,
all right, everybody put their armor on. Let's go.
It's a tough subject.
It's a very tough subject. With this subject, we've watched it since we got into it, Art Bell. Thank you, Art.
Yeah.
And we've watched it over the last couple of years, and it's really escalated into this thing where people are not us, of course. We want you to come on to tell us what you've discovered. We want Dr. Rourke to come on and tell us what he's discovered. We want Mark Macy to come on the show and tell us what he's discovered. Every point's so important to us, And hey,
that's why I want to get my arms around it. And Guy, you so far out of all of them, you sound very, very familiar with the actual technical aspect of the Mark.
Yeah, I do have a double E degree, so,
excellent.
I have worked with communications and stuff. So
excellent.
I can talk to that a little bit intelligently, I hope. One thing I do want to say is that again, I guess I'm still kind of ambivalent. I mean, on one hand, we've got what Dr. David Rivers and his work with the artificial larynx and, you know, Harold Sherman's, analysis that unfortunately your listeners have not heard.
No, they haven't. So is that available from your site, or is it available for commercially?
All I can say is that you can go ahead and utilize it from the CD that I sent you.
Mm-hmm.
Can we post it on the site?
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to post it and blow up anybody's copyright.
I want
owns the intellectual property to benefit from that if they choose, or to release it into the public domain.
Yeah.
It is copyrighted by the University of Central Arkansas archives on the Harold Sherman collection.
Okay.
That's where I actually found it accidentally. if anybody tries to contact the archives there, they won't find it. I found it by accident on there, and I was, it was just like, wow, what's this? This is dynamite. You
that's
know?
For that's for Harold Sherman, you said, Guy. What about Dr. David River?
As far as I know, this was just a... It meant to be a private tape between him and Harold Sherman.
Okay.
So this is part of the Harold Sherman collection.
It's part of the Harold Sherman. That's all. Because what I'm willing to do, you just kind of, that may be pointless, because you just said, Guy, that if I call there and go, hey, I'd like to talk to someone about the Harold Sherman collection and see if there's any way we could share this with the public, they're not going to be able to find this. Am I correct?
Possibly not, because Well, when you go to the website, University of Central Arkansas Harold Sherman Collection website, there's a listing of everything that's in his archives. Apparently, the archivist told me that he was a pack rat. He saved everything. And I was looking under the box for the original Spiricom cassette because I wanted a clearer copy. Originally, I picked up my copy was through the Ghost Picks website.
Yeah,
and I go, well, it'd be nicer if there was a cleaner copy of this rather than these crappy MP3s they've got there. And
have you heard ours?
You haven't heard ours then, have you?
Yes, I did. I did. Remember, I looked into this over a year and a half ago. And so this was before I found out about your show and before I saw, Mark Macy had graciously made those copies for you, and I listened to them. Nice and clean,
Well, if I may toot my own horn a little bit, that cassette that I got from Mark Macy, that had not even been played yet. I literally took that thing out of the package, put it in my a real high end tape deck that I have that I use to transfer stuff with, and it wasn't even played before. It was never even used, and I'm like, okay, I want to capture this in its purest form. And that's what
was totally appreciated. I'm glad that you did that because I think it allows you to really hear what's being said a little bit clearer altogether. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, that was when I was looking for the cassette and I found that particular box where that cassette was in. The archivist said, "Okay, I've got the cassette, but I also have this other tape that's in the same box. Do you want a copy of that?"
Mm-hmm.
And I go, gee, I thought there was only one. As far as I knew, there was only one 90-minute cassette. And I go, sure, send it on to me.
Yeah.
And that's when I found out it was the David Rivers and Harold Sherman analysis.
I
think if you contact the University of Central Arkansas and the Harold Sherman, for the archives, they probably will give you permission to do so.
Yeah, okay, guys, listening to the show, whether you're listening live right now or you're listening to it in archive form, I got it. I'll take care of this one.
Okay.
I'll run this one myself.
Don't everybody run to
the
University
everybody,
of Arkansas.
Don't everybody pile on the University of Central Arkansas and the guy from Ghost Talk sent me over here to try to get the tape. No, I'll take care of it. No, I really would love to get, because I listened to these today myself, and I was just like, wow, this is some thorough work right here.
Yeah.
I'd love to get these up on the site, and I'm going to follow this up, seriously.
We'll do that, and if we have permission, we'll post
we'll
it
post
up.
We'll post it up.
Our
we'll be happy
course.
To.
If we can't, then, everybody line up at the University of Arkansas. but until then, let us handle it for now, and we will make it available to you as soon as we get the copyright cleared. The permission to post.
Yeah.
Okay. The Mark Macy had said that half of MetaScience Foundation's belongings, when George Meeks passed away, went to him, and then half went to someone else. Was that Harold?